Today we have this beautiful reading from Luke chapter 15 called The Story of the Prodigal Son. And as you know, the older brother was very unhappy when the younger brother came back. But I'll tell you who was even more unhappy, and that was the fattened calf, right? Okay, so today we have this context is when Jesus is with tax collectors and sinners. He's with Matthew and all his companions and all of these former prostitutes and tax collectors and notorious sinners. The Lord is eating with them and he's socializing with them. And the scribes and Pharisees are watching this, and they grumble and they complain that all these sinners are being welcomed by Jesus. So the Lord, it says, addresses this parable to the scribes and the Pharisees, to the resentful ones. See, the younger son, of course, represents the tax collectors and sinners. The older son represents the scribes and the Pharisees. So let's take a look at this incredible image that the Lord gives us, this story of what's called the prodigal son, which is called the wasteful son, because he wasted his inheritance. Many scholars have said it should be called the parable of the merciful father, because he, of course, is the great hero. He has two sons. The younger one wants his inheritance right now. He doesn't want to wait for his father to die and to get the inheritance then. He says, "Give me." And Bishop Sheen says we always get in trouble whenever we say, "Give me," right? Give me this, give me that. So he says, "Give me my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait till you die." So the father divides up his property, gives all the money, half of the money to this son. He goes off to a foreign country, squanders it on a life of dissipation. But then the famine hits, and he has to wind up working among the swine. And for a Jewish person who did not even eat meat, did not even eat pork, this would be the lowest of the low. He's actually taking care of the pigs, and he could not. Obviously, he had hit rock bottom. He was hungry. He was out of money. He began to suffer. He began to feel hunger. And even the pigs had more food than he did. So this was the lowest of the low. Here he was working among these unclean animals. Something that violated his conscience, his religion. And here he is hungry. So this is when he comes to his senses. Isn't it the case when people go through suffering, they come to their senses? When they're in prison, they have their conversion. When they go through an illness, they come back to God. So it's, as C.S. Lewis says, it's God's megaphone. Suffering is God's megaphone to get our attention, to come back to God. So he comes to his senses and realizes that, why am I here hungry and starving without money? I'll just go back and just beg to become a slave or a servant back at my dad's house, because they have plenty to eat back there. I'm not going to go back as a son. I've already lost that dignity because of my sin. I've already spent my inheritance. I don't want to have him accept me back as a son. I'll just pray that he'll take me back as a servant. So he says, "I will arise and go to my father." See, that's the great motto for confession. I will arise and go to my father. So what's so beautiful, though, is that as he gets a distance from the house, he's still quite a ways away, his father sees him. So obviously his father had been praying for him, had been looking for him. It says his father caught sight of him a long way off, probably every day looking, "When is my son going to return?" He's filled with compassion, with mercy, because he represents the Heavenly Father. It says he runs to his son, something that they never did, that men would never do in the Old Testament, to show this, to run towards a son in public, and embraces him, kisses him. And the son goes to confession. He makes his confession. Says, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Just treat me as a servant." His father immediately forgives him. He calls to the servants, "Bring the finest robe and put it on him." So he restores his dignity. Put a ring on his finger. He restores his sonship. Put sandals on his feet. He wouldn't be a servant. He'd be considered a member of the household again. and kill the fattened calf and slaughter it, which would be like your Thanksgiving turkey that you've been feeding all year for November. So they kill the fattened calf because he says, this son of mine was dead. He was dead in mortal sin, but now he is born again. He's alive. He's gone to confession. What was lost has now been found. Then the older son hears about this. He's out working in the fields, doing his father's will. And he hears about this music and dancing, and he gets angry, and he won't come into the house. He becomes very stubborn. He's angry because his younger son, just like the scribes and Pharisees, were resentful and complaining and bitter and angry that the Lord was forgiving the sins of these great sinners. And so again, the father goes outside the house for him. He's the great hero. He goes outside and says, my son, we should rejoice because your brother was dead, but has come back to life again. He was lost, but now is found. So again, the Lord is trying to drive home to the scribes and Pharisees. They shouldn't be grumbling and arguing that these people are coming back to God. They should be rejoicing when people come back to God. So again, what a great story. The story of the prodigal son. The great hero is the merciful Father, who represents our Heavenly Father. And during Lent, we get up and say, I will go to my Father, I will arise. We go to confess our sins, we receive forgiveness. Those dead in mortal sin come back to life, and there's a great feast in heaven and a great feast at the Eucharist whenever we go back to the sacraments, because then we can then partake in the body and blood of Christ at the holy altar.